This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we have an episode for you about Kolsch.
Oh, no. I've always said Kolsch. Kolsch.
Okay. Yes, I've always said Kolsch as well, but I'm American, and I don't really know what umlauts mean. And so, yes, here we are. This is going to be a fun with German pronunciation one. Speaking of, welcome to Oktoberfest. And drink responsibly.
Yes, always. And yes, I feel like a lot of people get confused, but Oktoberfest generally happens kind of in September.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I am going to guess, and I feel pretty confident in this guess, that that's why you chose this topic.
Yep, yippers. Mm-hmm. That is why. I was like, well, it's Oktoberfest. Let's find a beer to talk about that we have not talked about yet. And here it was.
And I could have sworn up and down we had already talked about it. Oh, my gosh. also, Lauren and I have just gotten back from a whirlwind trip
to Las goodness.
Vegas.
Yeah. Apparently, all of our trips to Las Vegas are whirlwind trips. Mm-hmm. We have not been there more than 48 hours at mm-hmm. any given time. But yeah. If y'all heard our last episode about Lahontan cutthroat trout, we were recording that live from a music festival, which was a bizarre and wonderful experience.
I have to say, like, toot our own horn. Listening back to it, it sounds like a pretty regular episode other than you can hear the Foo Fighters in the background.
Yeah, we held it together decently well. Towards the end of the session, there was the moment where, I think that if we had gone on much longer or if the Foo Fighters had started playing much earlier, there might have been a distraction issue.
Mm-hmm.
But because, the only time that, we did not totally hold it together was when Annie almost started cracking up during, the tail end of the listener mail session. And as it turns out, it was because the Foo Fighters had started playing very loudly in the background.
The best of you. And I drove to high school every day during an emo period of my life, and I played that song just on repeat. So when I heard it, it took everything I had, Lauren, to not just bust out. But we did it. We did it. And I feel like we should maybe post pictures. We have some pictures just so you get the feel.
Yeah.
Of what was happening.
We described the situation, but the photographs are quite revealing. Yes.
They are. They are very, very revealing. But here we are back in our home studios.
We are
no
hubbies.
Foo Fighters blasting in the background.
Spiritually, maybe, but not, no. not literally.
Always. You can see our past beer episodes, maybe Groot, especially.
Mm-hmm. Also, IPAs intersect a little bit with this one. And Märzen, I think I'm saying that right. No,
can't
gosh.
Help you. Can't help
fun
you.
Fun with German pronunciation.
It's been
I'm
a while
sorry.
Since I've, you know, had to know that one since that episode. this is going to be fun. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, well, speaking of, I guess that brings us to our question. Kolsch. What is it?
Well, Kolsch is a type of ale that is pale, crisp gold in color and flavor. It's meant to be served in a tall, straight-sided glass called a Stange, I think, that shows off its like light, sunny color and its near transparent clarity and its minimal like bright white foam or head. It smells a little bit fruity or even winey, but tastes light and dry and a little bitter, maybe a little mineral, maybe a tiny bit puckery with like a good snap of carbonation. It doesn't really taste either malty or hoppy. It's just crisp. I'd say it's a really good beer if you don't like beer, but it's also a really good beer if you love beer. Like it's delicate but complex, like a slightly more flavorful Pilsner. It's like the sound of a gold coin ringing as it bounces in a glass.
Mm. Once again, a beautiful description. I can taste it, that kind of like sharp, yeah. clear chime.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Beer 101. So generally speaking, to get a beer, what you do is you take some grains and slightly germinate and then roast or otherwise dry them. That's going to be your malt. Then boil your malt with water. That's your wort. And then add yeast in some way to your wort to get it to ferment. The yeasts eat some of the sugars you've released from the grains through germination and boiling, and they excrete alcohol, carbon dioxide, which is beer's bubbles, and flavor. Yeast poo. and this is a pretty broad, simple template, and all of the different ways that you can tweak the recipe with different grains, different roasting processes, different yeasts, and or other friendly microbes, you know, adding different other stuff at various stages, like hops or fruit or flavorings, will give you all of the wildly different styles of beer that are out there. In the case of Kolsch, what you're looking to do is take simple, straightforward ingredients and like not heck them up. The grain that you use is going to be a pale malted barley. This means barley that's been just very lightly roasted, like hot and quick, to a soft blonde color and a mild flavor. Pale ale or Pilsner malts are common here, and you're usually using just one, yeah? You boil that malt for a bit and then add your hops. You're looking for like more subtle German varieties that fall under the noble category. Though that's a complicated term, not that's a different episode. But these tend to be like woody, herbal, spiced in flavor, as opposed to in American hops the like fruity, citrusy, piney flavors that you get. Your grains and hops are going to work together to give a balance of like slight sweetness and twinges of bitterness to the final beer. The yeast that you use is going to be an ale yeast, which thrive at relatively warm temperatures and are called top fermenting, meaning that they kick up foam at the top of the vessel that they're fermenting in while they're working and are then collected from the top when they're done working, traditionally to help you make the next batch of beer. The other kind of yeast, lager yeasts, by comparison, thrive at cooler temperatures and are bottom fermenting because they easily sink to the bottom of the fermenting vessel and were traditionally collected from the bottom when they were done. Yeast producers do make Kolsch-specific yeasts, and this is where you're going to get a little bit of fruity scent, like pear or apple, and maybe a little bit of winey pucker and or mineral flavor, yeah. You then cold store the beer at near freezing temperatures to help with clarity. That's because the stuff in beer settles or precipitates out more easily at colder temperatures. This process is called lagering, and is most typically used for lagers, not ales.
Makes sense.
Yeah, even though this is an ale. Yeah. So it's a slightly finicky style to make, like, well, because it's such a delicate balance of delicate stuff. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of like living in this halfway point between ales and lagers. And yeah, you can just like see and or taste all your work in the finished product, which is great if it went well and apparent when it, you know, didn't go so well. Furthermore, this is not the kind of beer that you want to like buy and cellar to save for later. Drink it fresh. It'll flatten out in flavor if allowed to sit. So kind of like look for local breweries that are maybe doing this style in your area. If you happen to be in Atlanta, both Wrecking Bar and Halfway Crooks do a good job on a Kolsch. And apparently, in Cologne, Germany, where the beer is from, pubs serve it sort of akin to like Rodizio style, you know, like the meat at a tarascaria, like Fogo de Chao. Yeah. So like servers will carry around full trays or racks of fresh glasses of beer. And if yours is empty, they'll switch it out for a new one. They're smallish glasses, only like a fifth of a liter. That's like 6 ounces. And they'll keep a tally on your coaster. And then when you're done, you put your coaster on top of your glass and then they tap you out. I have not been to there, but this is what I have read in multiple places. If you have primary experience, please write in and let us know. This sounds delightful.
It does.
Yes.
It really does.
Yeah. And yes, the name Kolsch like literally means of Cologne. So, yep, that's where it's from.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the nutrition?
Drink responsibly.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say Kolsch-style beers tend to hover right around like 5% ABV, like 4.8% traditionally. So that's a nice, easy beer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We do have a few numbers for you.
A couple, yeah. Okay, so Kolsch makes up less than 3% of the overall German beer market. So it's kind of niche. That being said, approximately 260 million liters of official Cologne-made Kolsch is brewed every year. That's about 92.4 million gallons. And that's coming from only about a dozen breweries. And apparently, a lot of it is consumed fresh at local pubs.
Mm. I do like a good Kolsch. I feel like it's definitely something I get at a bar less than something I buy and bring home.
Yeah. Yeah, if I see one on a menu at a brewery, I'm almost guaranteed to either me or my buddy Jed, who's the one who I'm usually at breweries with, is pretty much guaranteed to get it just to see what they're doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the history of the Kolsch is actually, it's both longer and shorter than I thought it was going to be.
Yes, yes. Yeah, this one is fun. And we are going to get into it as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And again, see our many beer episodes. But in this particular case, while beer does have a very long history, and a long history in Germany in particular, that is important to this conversation, the word Kölsch doesn't appear in writing until 1918. Pretty recent.
Yeah, right.
Yes. And this was at the Senner. Oh, fun with German. Brewery. One of about 40 breweries in Cologne before World War II.
Yeah, I think that was the first time that someone had ever labeled a beer as that thing.
Yes, yes. And Cologne, often agreed upon as the birthplace of Kölsch, goes back to ancient Roman times. It was allegedly established in the first century CE, though some argue even earlier than that. Meanwhile, Düsseldorf, often seen as sort of a nemesis in terms of the beer in the region, was firmly established during the Industrial Revolution and became the capital of the region that included Cologne. So we've got these kind of competing forces here. Yes. And there is a long history of brewing in this area, over 1,000 years worth. Records indicate that the people of Cologne really valued old style brewing methods to the point that in 1603, it was decided that they wouldn't participate in the popular lager style brewing methods of the time. No thanks. They went as far as to pass a law declaring brewers produce only top fermented beers, essentially ales. The reason for that is not entirely clear, though some speculate it has to do with the lack of refrigeration.
Sure, right, because, okay, refrigeration technology wouldn't come along for another couple centuries. So at the time, your local climate was kind of what you had to work with. The then newly popular lager-style beers are made with yeasts that thrive at those cooler temperatures. It might have just been too warm to really make lagers work there. Hence, they stuck with ales, the yeasts for which are happier at warmer temperatures. It might have also just been like a tradition and local pride kind of thing. More on all of this in a few minutes.
Yes. Many attribute the invention of Kölsch to these limitations and laws, the beers that came from them. But let us step back a bit. Monks in the area came together to brew this style of beer and to protect it as far back as 1396. 22 breweries apparently came together to form a union to protect themselves from things like taxes. The first mention of hops in Kölsch goes back to 1408. Due to this guild that had been formed and the rules around it, there were sort of two different branches of beer going on in the area. Barley groot beers and wheat and barley beers called Kutebier. Brewers who made this type were allowed to brew, but not allowed in the guild until the popularity allowed them admission in 1471. This meant that members of the guild grew to about 90, and Groot, which, see that episode again, was more and more phased out for hops in this region.
Yeah, Groot being a mixture of herbs and spices that were added to beer before hops really came onto the scene, which would have flavored the beer, but also, more importantly, helped control some of the microbial activity that was going on. Not that they knew what that was at that point in time, but yeah. Speaking of, okay, there were just a whole bunch of beer laws being created in the Bavarian region around that time, starting in the 1420s and sort of increasing in intensity through 1553. And they were really well-meaning. Like the idea was that beer is an important product that needs to be regulated for both the safety of the people and also the quality of this product that is, or was and is, economically important to the region. And like, remember, all of this was like a solid 300 years before Louis Pasteur and you know, various breakthroughs about what yeast and bacteria are and what they do in beer and elsewhere. So, okay, one of the specific laws that was passed, the one from 1553, straight up outlawed brewing beer from May through September. This was based on the fact that during these warm months, beer produced was way likely to have these like off, funky, sour flavors. So, right. So it was like a quality control issue. The practical effect was that you could not make top fermenting ales because those yeasts go dormant below like 45 degrees Fahrenheit or 7 Celsius. So in that climate, winter brewing was right out. You couldn't get the yeast to work. So suddenly, all beer in Bavaria was pretty much going to be a lager. So it was like a rebellion of sorts to say, you know, nah, we're not doing that. We are sticking with the top fermenting ales that we've always made. Other areas did fight back with other laws, like the use of wheat, which gave us Hefeweizen, for example. And fun fact, the No Summer thing led to the proliferation of Märzen, which is brewed in the spring before the cutoff and ready to drink by the like late summer, early fall. It helped like fill the gap in the lack of brewing work that was happening for those months. Anyway, meanwhile, starting in the 1600s, new fuel technology allowed beers like Cologne ales to become paler in color and kind of crisper in taste. Prior to this time, wood or peat or charcoal were the fuel sources used to roast malts. This gave beers a dark color and these like deep smoky flavors. But in the 1600s, folks working with coal had derived a new fuel called coke, which burned hotter and faster than anything that anyone had ever seen before. It drove industrial development from products like iron to steel to glass, but also made its way into brewing. Malt could be finished without so much smoke, so it could be paler and taste cleaner than malts roasted with wood or whatever. And this resulted in this like sudden, huge popularity of these clean golden lagers and bright pale ales that let hops shine through. And in this specific kind of weirdo case, the development of this non-hoppy pale ale that kind of defies both styles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Skipping ahead a little bit, the modern iteration of the Cologne Brewers Association first registered themselves and a number of rules about brewing in 1919 with 17 member breweries at the time.
Right. And when this beer, Kölsch, as labeled such, first debuted in Germany, it had a lighter taste than most preferred. And it took several decades until the 1960s before it truly garnered some popularity. On top of that, as mentioned, World War II did a number on the beer brewing industry of Cologne, including on Kölsch. By some accounts, about 90% of the city was destroyed.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it wasn't until the 60s they started to get back on their feet. According to some sources, 50 million liters were produced in Germany in 1960. Over the next two decades, that number rose to 370 million liters.
Ooh.
So, growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In 1986, the 24 members of the Cologne Brewers Association determined that Kölsch, to be Kölsch, must be brewed in Cologne. This was particularly notable because the history of Kölsch is relatively recent, and other older beers don't have the same protections and regulations.
Yeah. This set of rules that they laid out are called the Kölsch Convention. It's really like a renewal or revamping of the original rules that were set out in 1919. They were further revised in 1964. But yeah, this 1986 version kind of cemented them. Meanwhile, the Cologne Brewers Association celebrated its 600th anniversary in 1996. There's a few extensions of, there's some family tree branching involved. Uh-huh. But yeah, 600 years of brewing in Cologne.
Yeah.
Then in 1998, those regulations around what makes Kolsch Kolsch were extended to the rest of the European Union. The beer now has a protected geographical indication, or PGI, similar to champagne. Breweries outside of the EU do sometimes call their beers Kolsch, though it's considered like a little bit more respectful to label them Kolsch style. Yeah. Mm-hmm. and also I wanted to put in that there are like most of this refers to brewers within the greater Cologne metro area. But a few breweries outside of that immediate concept are allowed to use the moniker thanks to just tradition. Like they've just been doing it for long enough that the Brewers Association is like, well, okay.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yes, got it. Well, as always, listeners, please let us know.
I feel yes.
This is a very, it would be useful to hear from people who live in this area, have experienced these things for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. And if you do have a local brewery who's doing a good job of one, let us know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's what we have to say about this for now, though.
It is. It is. We do already have some listener mail for you, though, and we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Yes. Oktoberfest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I want to shout out two things. One, Lauren and I, if you listen to our episode we did in Vegas, we got to do that in person, live.
For the first time in a very long time.
In a very long time. And I think it went pretty well.
I think it did.
But it was a different experience. also, like, I feel like we explained it. You explained it very well in the episode. But people could listen in at any point to this. There were headphones outside of our booth where people could just, like, put them on and take them off at any time.
Yeah, yeah. And outside of our visual purview. Yeah, like we couldn't tell when this was occurring.
No. So I like to think someone just picked him up right at that moment. So what is this? But also, Lauren was very kind and filled in, guested on Stuff We Never Told You.
We talked about
the X-Files.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we heckin' did. what a bizarre and wonderful experience that was. Yes.
It sure was.
yeah. So if y'all appreciate the nerd stuff, then feel free to go over to Stuff Mom Never Told You and listen to that episode. It is wonderful chaos.
It is absolutely. Because that was the first one we did. And I feel like for me in particular, I was trying to adjust really hard to the fact that there were just music
people
staring
noises.
In.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I feel like we did okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I did the thing. I happened to be wearing a top that had little thumb hole keyholes, you know? Yeah. And I just, like, as a measure of extra protection, I just, like, pulled them up over. I hadn't been wearing the sleeves like that the rest of the day, but I, like, pulled them up over my hands so that I could, I don't know. I was just like, yes, please shield me from all of this sensory stimulation.
It was quite a bit. It was quite a bit. But we had a good time.
We did. And I will say that this is, like, I am no longer being paid by Bose to say this, but those headphones that they gave us to wear, which was part of the whole sponsorship deal, like the reason we were there, were very comfortable. I was in that recording booth for a solid 2 to 3 hours. And like, they were comfy the whole time.
Yeah, because Lauren did brain stuff. I went off and watched 30 Seconds of Mars by myself. I was waiting for her to get done, but you were still in there.
Oh, yeah. Just talking about why school buses are yellow and stuff like that. Yeah. What a weird day.
It was. It's very interesting. But anyway, no one else I'd rather do it with.
Oh, exactly. Me too. Thank you.
So we do have two messages for you. First, Hallie wrote, I hope it's Hallie. It might be Haley. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wrote, Saver is my favorite podcast. I've been listening for a couple of years now and never get tired of pestering people with weird food facts. One of my favorite parts of the show is Lauren's poetic descriptions of each food. I've been having not a great day or a month, but just pulled a giant mango out of the fridge. My parents brought it for me from a Washington farmer's market. This thing is the size of my head. Wow. I find that sometimes the overly large produce doesn't have as much flavor as the regular sized ones. But this was one of the best mangoes I've ever had. As I was scooping up ice-cold spoonfuls and shoving them into my mouth, I found myself trying to describe the mango like Lauren would. I settled on, like a tropical beach, lovingly made me a panna cotta. Somewhere between the delicious mango and the thought of a warm beach, my dreary day got a little brighter. Your voices have been a constant comfort and helped me through lots of tough times, and every day I find myself refreshing the feed to see what I get to learn about next. Thank you so much for what you do, and I hope lots more good things are coming your way. That's an excellent description. I mean,
yeah. That is evocative and absolutely appropriate to the experience of eating a really good mango.
It paints a picture. It, like, that's the thing, is when it can transport you, cuz now I'm like on the beach. But it's cuz a panna cotta to me is like the texture and the flavor is like subtle but lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see? You've done an excellent job. You've done an excellent job.
we all understand having not great days and or months here. We hope things are getting better, get better in the future. They tend to do that. But rough ones are rough. So I'm glad that we could bring you a little bit of
joy, uplift.
Yeah.
Also weird food facts to pester other people with. We're good at that part.
Absolutely.
It was funny. When we were in Vegas, we had a guest producer, Tyler, who's a friend of ours, works with you on Brain Stuff. And we told him what we were talking about, which was the Lahontan cutthroat trout. And it was just so funny because we were like in Vegas at this big music festival. And we're talking about like conservation and sustainability and sad stuff. And afterwards he was like, well, now I'm going to be thinking about freshwater fish. Yeah.
Yep. That, mm-hmm. Yep. Just totally normal stuff. Yep. That.
So we're good for that part.
Yeah, I keep thinking of the fact that that those trout have teeth on the back of their tongue. That's so just fine. That's just fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah, nature is fine. We're doing great stuff over here, nature. Yeah.
Yes. That's a great random food fact and also a fun, terrifying fact as we move into October.
Yes, yes. Okay, all right. We probably have some weird spooky season stuff on the way for y'all. Anyway, in the meanwhile, Arik wrote, I like the idea of Blanket Fort Studios. We should all have Blanket Fort Studios. Has a clock been started on Gray Cat locking Lauren out? I guess it is now. I just made a cacio e pepe the other night with a ton of fresh cracked pepper. Also did something I learned about where I lightly toasted the peppercorns before grinding and it really picks up more. Definitely something to try. And Dijon mustard, my first choice, especially whole grain. Nice bite, nice crunch, just an all-around great addition to things. If you make your own barbecue with a dry rub, try stone ground Dijon on the meat before applying the rub instead of the standard yellow and it will go up nicely. I've made the honey Dijon chicken from this site and linked it as well, and it is one way to have it.
I grasped at my chest a second. Oh, yes.
Yeah. That, right? Stone ground Dijon dry rub on a barbecue?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So good. I love the... I like all Dijon mustard, if I'm honest, but I really like a good coarse, like the grains, and you bite into them.
Yeah, they're like little boba. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. So I can see that working really well. Definitely. Well, why don't you let us know, Lauren? How's Gray Cat adjusting?
Gray Cat's doing okay. He actually has not been, he was raised an indoor-outdoor cat, and so we've moved around a lot the past year or two, year or three, as housing situations have been wonky. But yeah, he's kind of, this is the first house that we've been in that he hasn't within like a week or so started like begging to go out all the time. So I'm like, either that shoe is going to drop and then he's going to lock me out, or maybe he's an indoor cat now. And that would make me very happy personally. It's just a lot safer for both him and the local wildlife if he stays indoors. Because he is a fuzzy little murderer. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But yeah, no, he's doing really well. He was very mad that I went to Vegas for 48 hours.
Too long.
Unacceptable.
What is Blanket Fort Studios going to do without you? Collapse.
Probably literally, heck.
Yeah, honestly. We have very haphazard studio situations.
Yeah. I definitely. It's going to be great when I get these things permanently attached to my walls. That's going to be great.
Oh, I mean, I can't wait to see it. I will be
Me
coming.
Me neither. Heck.
I'll bring foods.
Yeah.
Watch a lot of stuff. We have a buildup of things.
We have a long list. Yeah, it's going to have to be. Yeah. You're probably going to have to leave and come back at some point.
Okay. Well, Life Day is coming up is all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
November 17th, everybody. Well, we have a lot to look forward to, I'll say.
Always.
Yes, and we always look forward to hearing from you listeners. Thanks to these listeners who wrote in. You can write in. You can email us at hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SaverPod, and we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.